Well, I believe that's going to be a wonderful day. Day of all days when we meet together. And I believe that's just as real as we're here tonight in this church auditorium. I believe God has prepared a place, a real place called heaven, for all the redeemed. And I'm glad that we are numbered among that throng tonight. I was just thinking how amazing it is that the church has had the same message now for almost 2,000 years, and yet people continue to come to hear it. Why, the movie houses, the picture shows, why, they have to change every day or two. They got to put on a new run of filth, most of it. And the other attractions of the world have got to put on a new show about every night or two. And the same message has been preached for 2,000 years, and people still come to hear it. That makes me feel good tonight. I'm glad I'm a preacher. I'd rather be a preacher than to be the president. Now, with your Bibles open to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We come now to what I believe to be the most important chapter, the understanding of it, the correct analysis of it, the proper interpretation of it, the most important chapter in the book of Daniel, and by many standards, the most important chapter in the Word of God. I want to begin reading at verse 1 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are indeed thankful that Thou hast laid out in the prophetic word those things that help us to understand the events of our world. We need not be shocked nor surprised at the things that are happening in our world tonight. The discord, the strife, the war, the uneasy condition of nations of earth tonight. Because we believe that Thou hast outlined all of these things in the program of prophecy. We only pray that Thou wouldst give us the wherewith to look into and grasp the meaning of these days that are being fulfilled before our very eyes, while the stage is being set for the last great act of human history. We pray tonight that our hearts and minds might be illumined and opened, that we might receive the word of prophecy, that we might go forth from this place with a better understanding of the plan and program that Thou dost have for the nations of earth and for Thy people, Israel. Again, we pray that if there be those without the Savior, that they might come to know Him. If there be those who are seeking a church home, that they might find it here at Worth Baptist. If there be those who need to come and lay bare their hearts before Thee at an altar of prayer, may they find that place tonight. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, I begin reading at verse 1. In the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. I had thought to treat the entire 9th chapter tonight, but after much prayer and much study in these first 19 verses, I felt persuaded of the Lord to devote 2 nights, 2 messages to this all-important 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. I felt it necessary tonight to bring us up to date to what Daniel is going to receive beginning at verse 20. Now we know that the book of Daniel is the key to all prophecy. If Daniel is destroyed, prophecy is destroyed. If prophecy is destroyed, Christianity is wiped out. 1/3 of the Bible is given over to prophecy. None is more important than Daniel. Now the critics, those of so-called scholarship, higher learning, so-called. And one fellow said to me, I've heard about higher learning all of my life, and I never realized what it was until I tried to put my son through college. And then I learned what higher learning was. But at any rate, the higher critics, higher learning, scholarship, so-called, has tried to place Daniel in the 2nd century before Christ rather than the 6th century before Christ, saying that Daniel wrote these things that he wrote after they had happened. We believe that Daniel lived in the 6th century. We believe that Daniel received these things by the Holy Spirit, and he wrote history in advance, and that's what prophecy is. History in advance. Now, in what we have already seen thus far, basically chapter 2 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 is a breakdown, an analysis, a symposium of Gentile world history. 4 great Gentile worldwide empires. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. That which Daniel has already seen and interpreted in vision and in the interpretation of dreams has been concerning the Gentile world. The times of the Gentiles, beginning with the overthrow of the city of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century before Christ. Now, I read the time element here in the first verse that is very important. Daniel tells us in the 1st year of Darius. I want you to turn back to chapter 5 for a moment. The last 2 verses of the 5th chapter of the book of Daniel. And I shall read them for you. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Verse 1 of chapter 9 tells us in the 1st year of Darius. So the events of chapter 9 follow immediately the events of chapter 5, the 1st year of the reign of Darius, who had been made king, according to verse 1. Look at the last sentence in verse 1. Which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now, the Medo-Persian forces were headed up by Cyrus, the great Persian general. Cyrus had a subordinate. His name was Darius. And according to chapter 6 and verse 1, Darius was the king placed on the throne by Cyrus the Persian. Now, we have the background of the timing of the events of chapter 9. They follow chapter 5. in the first year of the reign of Darius, this would be 536 B.C. This is the year that Babylon fell into the hands of the Medes and Persians under Cyrus and Darius. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel. Now, if Darius ruled in the 6th century before Christ, how on earth can the higher critics say that Daniel did not live until the 2nd century? Read it for yourself. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel. It seems as though the Holy Spirit knew that there would be those who would come. It seems that Daniel, the Holy Spirit knew that there would be those who would come in the end time who would deny the historical account of the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel says, I, in the first year of Darius, the king of Israel, the king of Babylon, placed there by Cyrus the Great, while I was studying the books. Now, what books do you suppose Daniel was talking about? I believe Daniel was talking about the parchments of the Old Testament scriptures. Specifically, I believe the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, and of Jeremiah. I have no doubt about it being Jeremiah because he names it. Now, here to me is an amazing thing. Turn back to the 6th chapter for a moment, and I want to read verses 1 and 2. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Can you imagine a president having time to read the Bible? Now, this is the point I want to get across. I've heard people say, I just don't have time to read the Bible. Then you ought to make time to read the Bible. I don't see how you live spiritually from one week to the next without reading the Word of God. Daniel was a president. A president over 126 provinces, a president over the whole kingdom of Babylon. Under the king, he was the first president. And yet, he had time to read the scriptures. And while he read specifically in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Turn with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And I want to show you what Daniel read. Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning at verse 8. This is where Daniel was reading in the scroll of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, ye have not heard my words. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, but I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, turn to the 29th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Verse Read first with me verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priest, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now read, beginning at verse 10 in the same chapter, Jeremiah 29, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now look back at verse 2 of Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of his reign, that is the reign of Darius, 536 B.C., I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I read to you from Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah outlines a 70-year period of captivity, a 70-year period of exile. 70 years that Judah would be in Babylon, enslaved to the Babylonian people. One day, Jeremiah sat down. I read it to you in 29:1 of his prophecy. And he wrote a letter. And the 29th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah is a letter addressed to, directed to, and delivered to the captives in Babylon, and among them was Daniel, who was taken in 606 B.C. Daniel had been there for 70 long years. Daniel is now about 90 years of age. He's reading the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? A person should never, as long as they have their senses and their sight, should never outgrow their need for reading the Word of God. Amen. The Bible is the truth of God. And here is Daniel, a president and a prophet, reading the Scriptures. He's reading from the prophecy of Jeremiah. But verse 2, you remember, says, I understood by the books. We shall see in a few moments that he was also, no doubt, reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, the writings of Moses. Daniel said, while I was reading, God directed me to a certain segment of Jeremiah's prophecy to remind me that there must be 70 years fulfilled before the exile, the captivity, has ended. Why were there 70 years? Because God said, I will make Jerusalem desolate for 70 years and give the land rest that they did not give it. Over and over again and again, God had said to them in the law of Moses, the land must be given its Sabbatic rest. They refused to do it, so God drove them out of the land. And the land had rest for 70 long years while they were captives in Babylon. All the joy of reading the Scripture, the Word of God. It was revealed to Daniel in the Scripture. Now somebody says, well, aren't there extra biblical revelations? No. Aren't men receiving today revelations from God? No. The Word of God has been finalized, completed, the canon of Scripture, and God is not revealing to men today except in His Word. Now, do you know the reason I believe that God didn't send an angel down to Daniel and say, Daniel, you're going to be down here and the people are going to be here for 70 years, because Jeremiah had already written it and Daniel had a copy of Jeremiah. Why should God send an angel from heaven and waste all of that time to say to Daniel, this people will be here 70 years, when it's already written over in the scroll of Jeremiah, and he had Jeremiah's scroll right in his hand? God is not dealing in extra canonical or extra biblical revelation. He has written to us in His Word, and this is final. So don't you be carried away, and don't you be deceived by anybody. I don't care if he's on radio or TV or in person or in a book, who tells you that God is giving to him special revelations in these days. He's just not doing it. His Word is final, complete. God has spoken, and we have the Word just to open and read. And God speaks to us through the Bible. Now, that fellow that gets up and tells you, well, I had a dream last night. Well, he just ate too much before he went to bed. God hasn't revealed any new revelation to him in a dream. God has spoken in His Word. And the Word is our full, final, true Word that we must go by. Why, God's already revealed more than most of us have read. Why is He going to reveal any more? The canon is closed. The revelation is done. God speaks to us in these days through His Word. And God has never gone contrary to His Word. Now, I've said all of that to say this. You and I better get busy reading God's Word if we want to know what's going to happen in the world. It's just as up to date as tomorrow morning's headlines that have not been printed yet. You don't think God was surprised by the Israelis going over into Lebanon yesterday, do you? He knew all about that. You and I shouldn't be surprised, because the Scripture tells us that in these last days there shall be many desolations and wars and rumors of wars and all of the uproar in which we're living tonight. Don't be disturbed. Don't be surprised. Don't be distraught. Don't be discouraged about it. Look up, because every headline tells us that the end of this age is at hand, and the coming of Christ is imminent. Amen. Thank God for His wonderful Word. Daniel, the president, had time to read the Scripture. And he said, when I read that, I looked at my calendar and I thought, my, we've been here 69 years and 349 days, thereabout. It's about time for this thing to be over. God said, after 70 years, I'll visit you and bring you out and take you back to your land. And this thing is about to happen. And I set my face unto the Lord. Oh, folks, how long has it been? How long has it been since we set our faces toward God? Oh, I don't mean this, Lord, help me, my four and no more. Good night, Lord, I'm going to bed kind of praying. You heard about that fellow, you know, that he just went through the same old thing. And finally, he just got tired of saying it, so he just tacked it up on the wall and said, Lord, there's my prayer. Good night, I'll see you in the morning. That's just about the average Christian's prayer life. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord. That speaks of faith. He had faith to believe that what God said he would do and bring this captivity to an end. That speaks of devotion. Daniel was in a spirit of devotion when he set his face to the Lord. And it speaks of worship. It speaks of worship. Ah, how we need to uncover and rediscover the true meaning of worship in our day. Daniel set his face toward the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. That speaks of humility and reverence and sincerity. And I prayed unto the Lord. And I made my confession. That's a good place to start prayer, making a confession. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our hearts, that God will not hear our prayer. We better learn to confess. Here is Daniel down on his face before God praying. And the first thing he does is he makes a confession. And he extols the greatness and awesomeness of God, the God who keeps his covenant. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham that he would spare his seed and bring out of it one who would bless all the nations of earth. The one who keeps his covenant and his mercies to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Four times in these 19 verses, four times Daniel says, we have sinned. And the Hebrew for that word sin there is hetanu, which means a serious crime or offense. Now, this business of sinning against God is a very serious matter. This business of transgressing the laws of God is a very serious matter. It's not to be looked lightly upon. Four times Daniel said, we are guilty of serious crimes and offenses against God. Oh, I wish that we here in Worth Baptist Church and we Christians in our city and in our so-called Christian nation tonight would fall on our faces before God and confess that we have sinned. I wish you would just follow down with me. Beginning at verse 5, notice this, and I'll just name the things. First, we have sinned. Then Daniel says in the same verse, we have committed iniquity. And then he says in the same verse, we have done wickedly. And then he continues, we have rebelled. And then he continues, we have departed from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That is, we have disregarded the word of God. Any nation, any family, any person, any church, any people who disregards the word of God is in trouble. God has given us his word to live by as a guide, as a roadmap to show us the way. If we disregard the scriptures, we're in trouble. And I fear that that's one of the things that's wrong with America tonight. We have disregarded the word of God. Verse 6, Daniel says, we have not hearkened unto thee, nor unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, and to our princes, and to our elders, and to all the people of the land. God raised up prophet after prophet. Amos, and Obadiah, and Micah, and Jonah, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and on down the line, he raised up the prophets to warn God's people that judgment was coming if they didn't turn from their sins and from their idolatry and their wickedness. And Daniel says, I confess we have not hearkened to the prophets. You know, a lot of people go to church and never hear anything the preacher says. Oh, they sit there and their ears are turning in the right direction. And they might look like they're hearing, but they are really not hearing. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I'm just as convinced of this as I am of anything tonight, that every time you hear a message from the Word of God, you're going to give an account of how you heard it. I'm going to give an account of how I preached it. But you're just as responsible for hearing it. They did not hear the word of the preacher, the prophet, the man of God, and therefore God sent judgment upon them. He speaks in verse 7 of all of those who have been scattered. Remember 722 B.C. God sent the Assyrians unto Sargon and Shalmaneser and carried away the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and they were scattered. And all of the men of Jerusalem and the men of Judah are now down in Babylon. And the end of verse 8 says, we have sinned against thee. To the Lord belongeth mercies and forgivenesses. The end of verse 9 says, we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, Daniel says, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. We have not walked in his laws, which he set out before us by the prophets. All Israel has transgressed thy law. What a confession, what a prayer. We have not obeyed thy voice. The last part of verse 11 says, because we have sinned against him. Why are they in captivity? Why are they being punished? Because they've sinned against God. Now look at the last part of verse 12. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. When the Babylonians in 586 B.C. came to the city of Jerusalem, they tore down the walls, they burned the houses, they tore down the temple of Solomon. They left it a heap of ashes, rubble, ruin, nothing. Daniel says all over the world, in all of world history, there's never been another desolation and destruction like has been put upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, Daniel had to be familiar with the first five books of the Bible to call them the law of Moses, and he had to be familiar especially with the book of Deuteronomy, which the higher critics say was not written by Moses. They give four or five writers. They give Deuteronomy 1 and Deuteronomy 2 and Deuteronomy 3 and Deuteronomy A and B and C and D and E. And Jesus said Moses wrote it. And Daniel said Moses wrote it. And I believe that Moses wrote it. Or somebody says, well, I understand, I read over there somewhere in a book that there was no writing at the time of Moses. Why, archaeological discoveries have shown us that there was writing 500 years before Moses. In the book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, all of this evil has come upon us. Yet we haven't even prayed about it, haven't even asked God to turn us from our iniquities. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil. Verse 14, the last part says, for we have not obeyed his voice. We have done wickedly. We have sinned, the last part of verse 15 says. What is all that curse that he's talking about? I want you to listen to it from Deuteronomy. I've been talking about Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, listen. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to obey all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all the curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and cursed shall be thou when thou comest in and when thou goest out, and the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be destroyed because of the wickedness of thy doings. And then in the last part of that great 28th chapter, beginning at verse 63, and it shall come to pass that the Lord, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The curse of the law of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Why? Because we have sinned against him. Now in verse 16, he prays to the Lord for Jerusalem's sake, for his city's sake, to please forgive and pardon. We are ashamed, he says, of our lives, of our conduct. In verse 17, cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. Rebuild for us again the temple that is destroyed. That's what Daniel is praying for. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold how desolate we are, the city which is called by thy name. We're not praying because we have righteousness, but we are praying because you have great mercy. Oh Lord, hear, forgive, hearken, do, defer not, for thine own sake, oh my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. If I can feel the heartbeat of America tonight, of our great so-called Christian land, I believe we need to pray even as Daniel prayed. We have sinned. And I'm daring enough and bold enough and brave enough to say to you tonight, if America doesn't do the same thing, repent and turn from her evil, God is going to send judgment upon us. Or somebody says, it can't happen to America. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's already happening. We just don't know it yet. We're asleep. We're apathetic. We're closed-minded to the evil that's encroaching upon us and the freedoms that we're losing every day. And I repeat, I'm brave enough, bold enough, daring enough to say to you tonight, the people of this church, that if our nation doesn't fall on its face before God and pray and repent and turn from our sins, God is going to send judgment upon America. Wrath, punishment. I don't know how it's coming. It could come in a number of ways. Pestilence, earthquakes, floods, fires, war, famine. Any number of ways it could come. I would not begin to say how it will come, but I believe with all of my heart, if America doesn't have a revival, it's going to come. And that revival can begin in us. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight we truly thank thee that we have an opportunity to hear the word. We thank thee that we have an opportunity to believe the scripture, that we have an opportunity to worship and to pray. And dear God, we ask tonight, even as Daniel asked for his people, Judah, we ask that thou wouldst hear us, not because of our righteousness, because we have none, but for thy mercy's sake. Send a revival to America. Spare us that awesome judgment that must come. Send a revival to America and begin it in our hearts here at Worth Baptist. Begin it now. Begin it tonight. Begin it with the preacher. Let it spread and permeate through the people, is our prayer in Jesus' name.